الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي درود شریف اللہ Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home. Chapter 72 of the Quran is titled as Surah Jin. Chapter 72 of the Quran is titled as Suratul Jin. It contains 28 ayats of the Quran, verses, and is divided into two sections, two rukus, a fairly short chapter of the Quran, only two rukus. And again in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us additional information of this makhluk that we know as the jinns. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an is the narrator, and this hadith is recorded in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari and the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. Just from the outset, so that we understand this mazmoon of Surah Jin, before the advent of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the jinns had access to the skies. The jinns had access to the skies, and what they would do is that they would eavesdrop to the conversations of the malaika. This is what they would do. During the advent of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything just stopped. Suddenly everything came to a stop. They were completely barred. No access given to the jinns to the skies. And so in the hadith, which is narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, it gives us the backdrop information of the beginning verses of Surah Jin. When the jinns had no access to the skies, all of the jinns got together and they decided that we should all divide ourselves into many groups and go out to investigate what is the reason. This can't be coincidental. Most definitely something has happened. A major event has taken place for the jinns to be barred from the skies. And so obviously a lot of powers are given to the jinns. Very quickly, swiftly, they can travel in all directions. And so they made mashwara and they divided themselves into different groups, trying to cover the different parts of the world to see what has happened. And so a delegation of jinns was also designated to go towards the area of Hijaz. And in Hijaz you have a place called Nakhla, and in Nakhla, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing in his salah. It was Fajr salah, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting the qiraat of the Quran in Fajr salah. And this delegation of jinns, of course, quickly scanning through the different regions, they notice something that this, for them, Allah's Nabi was just another Arab man, an individual, Muhammad ibn Abdullah to them. And remember, this was not something that was premeditated, pre-planned from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention to go and to speak with the jinns. This was something coincidental. Allah's Nabi was there in Nakhla, it was time for Fajr, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting the Quran. And so a group of the jinns, when they could hear the qira'ats, the Quran for the first time, this exposure comes to them. And so they landed and they came down. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has no information that a delegation of jinns are listening to my qira'at. He has no knowledge. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the opening verses of Surah Jin, قُلْ say it, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ, that it has been revealed to me, it has been revealed to me, أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ, that a delegation of the jinns were listening to you attentively. اِسْتَمَعَ يَسْتَمِعُ means to listen very carefully, attentively, without making noise. They were listening to the Quran. Now imagine, the Quran is so sweet and beautiful, but who is the Qari of the Quran? Who is the Qari? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And can they be better qira'at than the qira'at of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's time for Fajr. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reciting the Quran, and this delegation of jinns have no choice but to listen to this beautiful recitation. Such was the recitation of the Quran that comes from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qadi Ayyaz rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned in his Shifa that the mushrikeen, the pagans in Arabia, in Makkah Mukarrama, despite the fact that outwardly they hated the Quran, outwardly they hated Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but subhanallah, the magic of the Quran was something else. And not literally, of course, the word magic is used here. The sweetness of the Quran, the power of the Quran, subhanallah, this captivating ingredients of the Quran that is there, that when you listen to the Quran, it grips you. And so in the night, the mushrikeen, all of them, very quietly, secretly, discreetly, they would decide that it's dark, there's no lights in Arabia, there's no lights, no electricity. Very quietly, they knew that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand up for tahajjud salah, and he would be reciting the Quran, so they would want to get close to the hujra sharif of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and just to listen to the qira'at. And they were eavesdropping at the qira'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then a time came that three or four of the mushrikeen, they bumped into one another and said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? All embarrassed. All embarrassed. And they said, okay, well, you know why we are here. Make sure next time, all of you must promise, we should all promise, never to come here again. Never to come here again. Subhanallah, the Quran was such, for the second time they meet also. So the jinns were amazed. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't know that the jinns were listening. And so what had happened is that this delegation of jinns again returned back to meet up with the main group of the jinns. Remember, these were the jinns that had decided to investigate the cause of this phenomenon. Bhai, what has happened? That all of a sudden we are barred. Bhai, kya hua? So all of them returned back and they said, right, give us your information, what has happened? And of course there was no information. The only information was from this delegation that came from Nakhla. And they took an oath and they said, we take an oath and we tell you that access to the skies have been denied and that they have barred us from getting up to the skies because of what we have just listened to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned here, subhanallah, this graphic information that comes to us from the Quran, directly the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this batch of jinns, when they got back, they said, فَقَالُوا, and they said, all of them said, إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا, we have listened to this amazing recital. We have listened to this amazing recital. Quran and Ajaba, Ajib Kalam. Quran and Ajaba, amazing recitation. This amazing recital. Inna sami'na Quran and Ajaba. And who was the Qari? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One can imagine the impact it would have even upon the jinns. And the Quran testifies of this penetrating nature of the Quran, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the delegation of jinns, when they came, they said to them, to the other jinns, but we have listened to this amazing recital, يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ. It gives guidance to the right path, towards the right path, rushd. فَآمَنَّا بِهِ, and we believe in it. Immediately, becoming of the believers, that we believe in it. Even before meeting up with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a declaration to the jinns, their brethren, that we believe in it. But hum to iman le aaye, we believe, fa amanna bi. And then they declared, walan nushrika bi rabbina ahada, and we shall never associate partners with our Lord. We shall never associate partners with our Lord. And from this ayat kareema we learn that amongst the jinns you also have the mushrikeen. Amongst the jinns you also have the mushrikeen. So you have some jinns that are Hindu by their religious identity. What are they? Hindu. Some jinns that are even Christians. And some jinns that are even Jews. And so you have all sorts. And so you also have the mushrikeen. So this is what the Quran is saying, وَلَن نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا, and that we will not associate partners with our Lord. Ahada, no one. We shall not associate any kind of partnership to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this delegation was the first delegation to embrace Islam. To embrace Islam. And this information was actually given to who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Wahi. Now, we also have to remember that if we look into the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find at different accounts the jinns have met up with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not just the first time at Nakhla. You had different delegations of the jinns coming to meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the Mufassireen and Muhaddiseen have mentioned that as many as 6 times the delegations of the jinns came to meet with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to embrace Islam at his hands. Remember the incident of Hazrat Sahal ibn Abdullah, which is mentioned by Ibn al-Jawzi in his kitab Sifatul Safwa, that Hazrat Sahal ibn Abdullah met this old jinn. Remember this old jinn? And he was wearing this woolen cloak. Woolen cloak. And he met with Hazrat Sahal ibn Abdullah. Hazrat Sahal ibn Abdullah was amazed to see this huge jinn in front of him with this woolen cloak that he was wearing, something to cover the top section, perhaps even a chadar. And so this jinn said that you are looking at what I have on me here. I have put this cloak on for now 700 years. How many years? For now, 700 years. And with this chadar, with this cloak, I met Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. And I have met Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I am one from amongst the first delegation of jinns that listened directly to the qira'at of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Allah praises that delegation that they said, Inna sami'na Qur'an and ajaba. And so these were, subhanallah, incredible incidents and events that have taken place. So you'll find many such incidents that occurred, as many as six times. It is even mentioned that during the tragic event of Taif, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, the people of Taif rejected Tawheed. And at that time, Abu Talib also passed away. It was difficult for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In order to console Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the second time, a delegation of jinns came to meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they had also embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so when we look into Surah Jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us the reason why this delegation ventured out. And it is mentioned here, وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا. The Quran says that the jinns were saying, when we took up to the skies, when we took up to the skies, we found it filled, muliat, we found it filled, full of haras. Harasan means guarded by stern guards. Shadid means it's protected by stern guards, and shuhub means flames, by flames. So this was the difficulty. And they say, that وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ. What we would do is that we would take our positions, our sitting positions. مَقَاعِد means a place where you sit. لِلسَّمْعِ, to listen. But all of a sudden what has happened? فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنِ. Now anybody who tries to eavesdrop at the conversations of the malaika, يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابَ الرَّسَدَى. They find for themselves that they are ambushed by this piercing flame of fire. They are ambushed by this piercing flame of fire, all of a sudden. So how is this done? This is explained to us also again in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha has also explained this. And there are many ahadith that speak about this. And just to sum everything up, that whenever in the heavens a command that is issued from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a command that is issued from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately the angels start flapping their wings. What do they do? Immediately the angels start flapping their wings to show that, to show complete readiness to comply with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing they do is they start flapping their wings. And then you have a section that is divided. From Sidratul Muntaha, right from the top, there is a line of malaika. And there are layers and sections where you have all the malaikas. And so you have the upper section of the malaika. And then you have the lower section of the malaika. So whenever a command is issued from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this information is given to the top section, the upper section of the malaika. Then the information disseminates down to the lower section of the malaika. And the base for the lower section of the malaika is in line with the clouds. Is in line with the clouds. So where you have the clouds, that is where the malaika are. And so when information comes from the top, it goes all the way down. Again, everything is reiterated by the malaika at the lower section. Now when they repeat everything with all the angels that are there, it is at that moment what happens is that the jinns would hide themselves in the clouds. Where would they hide themselves?
In the clouds.
And so the clouds were their hiding places. So when he talks about gaining access to the skies, it means as far as the clouds. It means as far as the clouds. Now before the advent of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, It was easy access for them. So what they would do is that they would hide, this is what the Quran is saying, maqa'id. They would have their own sitting places up in the clouds. And they would listen and eavesdrop at the conversations of the malaika. And so what they would do is that they would collate the information and then they would go back to their masters, soothsayers and fortune tellers, give them one piece of information that might be true and correct, but mixing it with another 100 lies. What would they do? They would mix it with another 100 lies. And the 100 lies are what? Mirch masala. What is it? So there's this mirch masala occasion also with them, and they would speak to the soothsayers. And so this is what they do. But everything all of a sudden stops. And so now what happens is that the malaika are given power. So it's like a missile. It's like a missile that is fired at them and it burns them. So this is extremely painful. So when it was painful, they decided, let us see what has happened. And so they eventually, many of them had to surrender to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many of them, countless, had embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to understand that. Of course, now in the modern world, recently what happened in Russia, so you have meteors that scare people, and of course, you know, all of a sudden we might have something that might hit the earth. So there is no doubt, there is no contradiction here. There is no contradiction here that meteors, or should we say fallen stars, or even disintegrating planets, whatever. This is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything flows in its orbit. And even before the coming of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it had its own function and natural occurrences that happened. But the only difference was that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, what had happened is that through this meteoric flame was fired at the jinns that would try to trespass. That would try to trespass the heavens, the skies, to go up with the intention to eavesdrop. So access was denied. So there is no contradiction here. So we have to understand that. Subhanallah. And so this is how the shayateen had some access to listening to the angels. But remember, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to this dunya, everything was completely sealed. Why? Why was it sealed? To show that the Quran is completely guarded and protected. Completely guarded and protected. Someone might say that, hang on, it is in the Quran that before the coming of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the jinns had access to the skies and they had information, they gave information to the fortune tellers, to the soothsayers. Possibly some verses of the Quran might be missing, or they could have said anything. And so as a form of assurance, and this is the mu'jiza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by his coming, the jinns couldn't do nothing. And so when the Quran was revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was through this, subhanallah, protective passage, this angels that would come, Hazrat Jibreel Amin, and complete protection was given to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was directly revealed upon the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so that is why, again, the scholars have mentioned that access was denied for the shayateen, for the devils. Now, in this ayat kareema also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives information. Allah says, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. That you had some from the men, and so you had some people from the humans, you had some people from the humans, who took refuge from the people of the jinn. فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقَى. And this only increased them in arrogance. Rahaqa means arrogance. This increased them in arrogance. This ayat kareema tells us that insan and jinns have some kind of connection. And there is a possibility that this bonding and connection can be strengthened. And so, in the time of Jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance, what would happen is that when the Arabs would travel in the desert or in the jungle or anywhere, and in the night if they wanted to stop, what they would do is that they would seek protection from the leader of the jinns. And so they would say, Inni a'uzu bi'azimi hazal wadi min al jinn. Inni a'uzu bi'azimi hazal wadi min al jinn. That I seek protection from the leader of the jinns in this valley, in this wadi or valley, or wherever in the desert. And their aqidah, their belief was that that jinn would protect them. So that is why the Quran is saying, فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. And because of that, the jinns had become very arrogant. So they were full of themselves. Look at the human beings, insan also respect us, and they seek protection from us. And so this was before the coming of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a mentioning of this man which you'll find in many of the tafsir kitabs. His name is Hazrat Rafi' ibn Umair. Hazrat Rafi' ibn Umair. In fact, the reason of revelation of this ayat kareema, the backdrop is of an incident that occurred with this man whose name is Rafi' ibn Umair. He says that on one night, on one occasion he was traveling in the desert all alone. And so he was tired and he decided to stop in the night to take rest. And it was nothing but desert around him. And he was all alone, nobody around him. So again, the same ma'mulat. Before sleeping, he said, Inni a'uzu bi'azimi hadhal wadi min al-jinn. Inni a'uzu bi'azimi hadhal wadi min al-jinn. I seek refuge from the leader of the jinns of this wadi, of this valley. And so he says, I was tired and I went to sleep. He went to sleep. And then while sleeping, he saw a dream. That this man came, this young man came to him, and he had a sword, a blade, or a knife in his hand. And his intention was to go and kill and slay the camel of Rafi' ibn Umair. So he is seeing this in his dream, this vision that he sees. All of a sudden he says that my eyes opened up and I panicked and I looked around. And of course for the travelers, the camel means a lot to them. And so he looked at the camel and everything was fine, safe. So he said, this must be some satanic nightmare or something that has happened to me. And so again he shut his eyes and he went to sleep. For the second time he sees the same dream. That somebody is there, a young man holding a sword with the intention to cut the throat of my camel, to slay the camel. All of a sudden he wakes up again for the second time. This time he says that I looked at the camel and my camel was shivering. My camel was shivering. But he says that I looked around, there was nothing there, and so I went back to sleep. He was extremely tired. For the third time again he sees the same dream, that this man is there getting close to his camel to slay the camel. And again for the third time his eyes open up. And this time he sees that the camel is restless and tossing in different direction as if it's in pain. And so he stood up and he said, no, there's something wrong here in this desert. All of a sudden, in reality, he says that I saw the same man that I had seen in the dream standing in front of me, and the camel is just there, and with the intention to actually slay the camel. So now this is not a dream. This is a reality. In reality, he's seeing this. He says he ran towards my camel, but all of a sudden, this old man came close to my camel, and he got hold of that young man. And he said to the young man that, stop this, don't do this. And he said that if you want to slay an animal, I have with me two animals, take any one that you desire. And so he said, I will take one of your animals. So he took that one animal and he went off. And so this old man actually protected the camel of this man, Hazrat Rafi' ibn Umair. So Hazrat Rafi' ibn Umair spoke to him and greeted him and thanked him. And said, who are you? So he said, never mind who I am, what a foolish man you are. Never mind who I am, what a foolish man you are. So he said, why? He said, don't you know that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come in Hijaz in Arabia? And that he is the last Nabi, Khatamun Nabiyin. And have you no shame that you sleep in this wadi, in this valley, and you take refuge from the leader of the jinns? But you'd rather say, A'uzu, A'uzu, Rabbi Muhammad. Inni A'uzu, Rabbi Muhammad. That I seek refuge from the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he said, who is Muhammad? He says, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He is now in Yathrib, so go and become a Muslim, and this would be the best thing for you. And so obviously, who was this old man? This old man was also a jinn, and that young person was also a jinn. But this old man was a Muslim jinn, most probably who had embraced Islam. And that is why he's inviting Hazrat Yafir Ibn Umair to go. And so, subhanallah, this man, when he goes to Medina Munawwara and he meets up with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a Nabi. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him at a distance and says, come to me, Ya'fa ibn Ubaidullah, come. And he comes. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that it is the jinns that have invited you to come to me, isn't it? And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated the entire incident that occurred with him. And so immediately he also embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so what we learn is that sometimes even through jinns a person can be given hidayat. Even through jinns a person can be given hidayat. Because they are also Muslim jinns. And they also want people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just to conclude our session, my respected brothers, the great Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the great Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, until today in Masjid Nabawi, the Shias don't enter from Babe Umar. The Shias don't enter from Babe Umar. This is the power of this great man. Right? So they don't enter from Babi Umar until today. So Khair Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an says that what had happened, this is in the early days of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that I was standing close to this huge idol, and the mushrikeen, the pagans, had slaughtered a calf as a means of offerings to the idol. So they gave this offering to this idol, this huge idol. And he says that all of a sudden, from the belly of this idol, there was voice that could be heard. And the idol started speaking. So when the idol started speaking, all of the people there, the mushrikeen, they ran away. They got scared by, what's this idol speaking? We've never heard that. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an says that I didn't run away. I wanted to know what was the truth. So that Umar says that I stood in front of this idol and looked at it and said, speak what you have to say. And so when Hazrat Umar stood in front of this idol, it is said that the idol said to Hazrat Umar, and in fact it was a general message for everybody, that the most intelligent people are those who worship Allah. The most intelligent people are those who worship Allah. And obviously, who was inside? A jinn. And so basically, the jinn was actually pushing this pagan tribe, the mushrikeen, towards Islam. So this had also touched Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Umar says that just in few days, it was heard in Arabia that Muhammad ibn Abdullah has announced to the people that he is not Muhammad ibn Abdullah, but rather he is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to us. And so in Surah Jinn, we have some additional information of this ajib makhluk, which we know as the jinns. Inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills, we will continue. in our next session of Darsi Hadith. Just as a reminder, my brothers, that inshallah next week Darsi Hadith will be postponed. I have a program out of Leicester, and inshallah we will continue thereafter as usual the week after, inshallah. So next week will be postponed. Dua kirli. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.